Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, we have hope of spring very much in the air, despite the rain in many parts today. So we wanted to explore some of Ireland's lesser known secret gardens, those hidden gems. They're off the beaten track, but they really are well worth your time. And we're going to talk about one or two better known ones too, ones that you may not have been to in some time, but they're really looking spectacular at the moment and will be as we continue through the season. So we have Rachel Doyle with us, founder of the Arboretum Garden Centre in Carlow, and Paul Harvey of Windy Ridge Nurseries, and both here with me in the studio. Lovely to have you with us. Thank you for being here. You're coping with the weather, are you?
Just about.
It's very tricky for anyone trying to grow or farm, as we were hearing earlier. Now, Rachel, we're going to start with you, and we're starting in Carlow, aren't we?
We're starting
in Tullow with Altamont Gardens. Will you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, Altamont Gardens, it's only about 20 minutes or so from Carlow town. If you're going from Carlow to Bunclody, it's on that, just a mile off that road. An absolutely fabulous garden. It's one of William Robinson's design, and his design was very stylish, but simplicity. In a very natural landscape.
So does that mean no hard lines? Is that what that tells us?
Yes. Okay. The hard lines, from the back of the house, there's a very wide gravelled path, which brings you down to where there's sculptured yews along the way and hedging. And you can veer off the track. Mm-hmm. There's lovely things to be seen Have a wander, yeah. And once you come down, ahead of you is a big lake, a man-made lake, which is covered with water lilies, and it's spectacular. And once you're walking around the lake, there's a place where there's a sign for the glen, and the glen is actually where, in the Ice Age, when the ice moved out, it left all these boulders, and an absolutely magical place. I remember when my two boys were small, they absolutely loved going there. And Corona North, the lovely lady who owned it, she died a few years ago, but Corona, one of the big oak trees fell. So instead of getting the chainsaw in and the lads to cut it up, she left it. And the kids just loved this wildness of going underneath this big tree that has fallen. So it's then when it rains, which is often, you hear the gushing rainwater, the water gushing down through and over the stones. And you walk down to the River Slaney, and you take a walk along the bank, a lovely walk along the River Slaney for probably about, 500 metres and then you take, there's 100 steps, and you have to go up this 100 steps, which is challenging, but exciting.
Listen, we're on a day out here, so
absolutely.
We're okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's lovely because it's not man-made steps. It's stones and railing to hold on to in different places. So the 100 steps, you come up to the gardens again, and then you're going, you can take a walk up through, I think it's Mad Mag's Walk. And we were told when we were kids that this was haunted, and the trees are overhanging. And we love
there's an eerie feel to it. And any chance of a cup of coffee after
all
that?
Yes, there is. And a friend of mine, Robert Miller, has a plant area there as well.
Lovely. Well, that's our first one, and that sounds magical. Yeah, that sounds like a lovely day out in Tullow. Now we're going to Wicklow, Paul, and we're going to start with Mount Usher, which lots of people will be familiar with, but might have overlooked in recent years. It's one of those that we hear about a lot and we talk about a lot, but it's really well worth a visit.
Oh, 100%. It's the Wallopil family. So in the 19th century, they made a huge amount of money in the linen industry. And like Rachel was saying earlier, it's the Robinson, sort of that era of the wilder garden, the sort of more tranquil. And it really is a gem, like in terms of the number of conifers from the Southern Hemisphere, the Northern Hemisphere. And the beauty about Wicklow, it's quite strange. It has this microclimate. So it allows sort of more temperate things. It doesn't have the extreme frost, and it has a lot of rain. So plants really love it where it is. And if people haven't been to Mount Usher, it's you cross over the stream three or four times and you're over and back, and the amount of rare variety of rhododendrons up there are just incredible, and the colour at this time of the year is beautiful.
So even if you don't know anything about plants and you don't really know what to look for, you're going to enjoy the beauty of the place.
Oh, 100%. The hydrangeas, and all the plants are labelled. So they've over 5,000 different species of plants and trees up there. So as you're going along, you'll... Now, some of the names may be difficult to pronounce, and I certainly not even I can pronounce all of them, but you'll get the gist of it, and then oftentimes they'll give you the Latin names as well in terms of a beech versus a fagus and stuff like that. But the variety is amazing, and it's just that wonder. Like, it's a great... I think I brought my now wife on a date there, so but it is beautiful to walk around and just even and as it changes through the season, which is great. So you'll have the hydrangeas later on in the season. Now you'll have the azaleas and the rhododendrons coming into flower.
And those unusual plants that you see in places like this, they would have been a status symbol, wouldn't they, Paul?
Oh, massively. Like, so these families that made huge money versus the rest, and the wealth sort of the inequality was massive back then, and something of status was definitely like a garden. And sort of the 18th century is more about structure and about fine lines and grass, and then the 19th century came along, and like Rachel was saying, the Robinson era of that wilder garden of more rarer plants to see, and they're just amazing.
Well, let's move now to Huntington Castle Gardens, also in Carlow, Rachel.
Yes, just down the road from my previous, the Altamont Gardens in Clonegal, a really quaint village on the Wexford border. And Huntington Castle is just an amazing. It was built in 1625 and it's been in the same family for all these years.
And still?
Yes, and it is owned by the Durden and Robertson families. And Alex came home, and his wife Claire, to work, he returned to his ancestral home. And when I was a child growing up, it wasn't terribly far from home, and our treat on a Sunday afternoon was bringing us there. And we used to go there with a fear and excitement, because the Witches of Isis lived there, the White Witches. And there was weddings there, and we used to be always scared. And I got to know the
Someone
lady.
Was feeding you great stories when you were small.
I know. And my dad would come behind us and frighten us. But it's a beautiful gardens. And Alex and Claire have taken it over now. In 2010, they came back to take over the place, and they're restoring the castle. Mm-hmm. And it's the castle. You can have a tour of the castle. It's amazing.
So that sounds like a real secret garden now.
It is a real secret
garden. Wouldn't have heard about.
Because I send people to it all the time, and people come back to me to tell me how wonderful it was and what a treasure we have in Carlow. And they...
And you don't have to make an appointment to go and see.
No, it's open for you to go and visit.
But,
and they do tours, and they have things for children, and the baking is always homemade.
Lovely.
And I'm a regular visitor. And Alex and Claire, she's a textile artist, and she has a studio on the estate.
Well, that sounds like a lovely one to visit. That's
yeah, they're a really dynamic couple, and there's champion trees for Entente Florale, which is the European Flower Festival, which happens every year, a village and town in Ireland. And when it came to Lochinbridge, was the first village in Ireland to win the gold medal. And then 10 years later, Clonegal was chosen, and the council asked me, would I work with them? Mm-hmm. And I did. And we got a gold. But part of it was because they have 7 champion trees. These are trees that
in
are
Huntington.
In Huntington.
Ah, there you go. Right, well worth a
and
visit.
And a yew walk, which the yew is completely covering. Kids just love it.
Okay, it's like a tunnel. Yeah. So now we're going to Kilrodery near Bray. I know Kilrodery really well. That's a beautiful garden.
Yeah, it's an amazing garden. And the amazing thing about Kilrodery, it's still in the same family. So from the 1600s, so you can imagine, so nearly over 400 years, the ancestors of the family are still there, which is very rare.
Extraordinary, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this, like, it reminds me more of, like, Versailles or something. So you have the main house, and you have the long pond that's perfectly shaped and straight. They've over 20 acres of grass that needs to be cut, and they've over 3.5 miles of hedges that need to be cut. But there's... It's more of the splendour, and then, but as you walk in to your right, you have a beautiful sandpit for the kids to play in, which is in the fruit garden, and then there's chickens and hens around there. and then up, and then you have the mazes that the kids can go up to, and the fairy houses, which are pretty cool, and the walks through the woods. So if you're there, it'll take you like an hour and a half even to walk around the estate.
Yeah,
but it is beautiful, and they have stuff
some on. Great long walks as well. I mean, you have the gardens, you can enjoy those, but if you want to go for a really long walk, there's plenty of scope to do that there too.
Definitely. And the avenue, and it's just even to show the grandeur. So that, I think they were more influenced from the likes of the Paris and France and Italy and that kind of style, and more in the 18th century rather than the 19th century.
So is that harder to maintain now than the wilder gardens we were discussing before?
I think they're equally difficult.
Really?
I think obviously the hedges, but finer lines are probably more easier. Mm-hmm. I think we are gravitating more towards the wilder gardens now because we understand just sort of the benefits that they give to the garden in terms of habitats and plant, or just nature, in terms of that wilder aspect, in terms of the bees and the butterflies and all that kind of stuff, rather than, but I think we like a bit of both.
Absolutely. Well, now we're going to Waterford, Rachel. Mount Congreve. Congreve?
Yes, that's just down the road. It's 52 minutes from me, from Nutland Bridge. Yeah, it's a fabulous garden. I mean, it's 70 acres of intensely planted woodland, 4 acres of a wall garden. And for the people, you were talking about people going for walks, 16 kilometres of walks in Mount Congreve.
Right, so you won't be short there.
You won't be short. Everything. It's overlooking the River Shore, and it's 6 generations of the Congreve families in it. And Ambrose Congreve died at Chelsea Flower Show at the age of 104. And he gifted the Mount Congreve to the state. So it's now run by Waterford County Councils and OPWs.
And open to everybody to
open
enjoy.
To everyone. And just one thing that I saw in I think it was Gardens Illustrated, one of those magazines, and they described it as one of the greatest gardens in the world, and has the biggest collection of, I think it's camellias in Europe. And
at Mount Congreve.
This time of year, the rhododendrons start in September, and they continue to do something in flower all the time.
Okay, well, that's
amazing.
Another one well worth a visit. Kilmacurra House in Kilbride in County Wicklow, Paul.
Yeah, so this is run by and looked after by the National Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin. So the beauty about this was that a lot of plants from Southern Hemisphere that wouldn't grow in Glasnevin would grow very well down in Wicklow.
Okay, proof of the pudding there, yeah.
Yeah, because of the soil was a lower pH, so the likes of the rhododendrons and conifers did a lot better in the moist climate that was there at the time. So that's really the beauty about it. And it dates back to Cromwellian times. So the person, it was donated by Cromwell to one of the lords at the time, and the house was built and then the gardens came afterwards with it. And then the National Botanics got involved in the 19th century, and they've been, like, the collection of rare conifers down there is amazing. But it wouldn't be of the more structured, it'd be more of the wilder sort of garden.
Okay, so that's Kilmacurra.
Yeah.
Okay, and Rachel, I know you want to talk about Westport House in County Mayo.
Yeah.
You're involved here.
I am. I'm privileged to be a non-executive director of Westport House. And when I got the email, I just thought, I showed it to my two sons and said, that's up your alley, Mom. So it's a beautiful, magnificent Georgian historical house in Westport. And it's owned by the Hughes family now, which I think is a great story, because it was owned by Dukes and Duchesses and all those for all the time.
And this is a local family now.
A local family. Instead of it being sold to Russians or somebody, Hughes family bought it. Three brothers, Cahill, Owen and Harry, jeepers. And they're running, the place has been run really well. It's still open to the public, but the plans are just going to be, it's going to be world class. There'll be nothing like this anywhere in the world when it's finished.
So that'll be on our list for the next time we're talking about gardens.
Yes, and it's it's going to be all wild, the wild realms. So it's going to be very, very different, very historical, back in the day. So it's a magnificent place.
And finally, very quickly, Paul, you are going to cheat now, because we really are going to a well-known garden, Powers Court Gardens, but you feel it deserves a special mention.
I do, and it's 3 minutes walk from my house, so it's so
aren't
close.
You lucky?
Yeah, and I'm up there regularly, so, and to think that we have by National Geographic have voted this the third best garden in the world. And to believe that we have something of that kind of quality on our doorsteps and that can rival anything in the world. And just the setting as you walk into Paris Court and you see the Sugarloaf in the background and you see the dugout area in front of it, it is really spectacular. And like we've talked about all these different gardens and places, Paris Court, within Paris Court, has five or six different gardens so that you can see the wilder sort of Japanese garden down below. You can see the pond, you can see the massive herbaceous border, and then you can see the beautiful woodland that you can walk back through. So it really has a bit of all the different gardens that we've talked about. So to go up and see it and to have it on our doorstep, I think we really don't appreciate what we have so close to Dublin.
And the pet cemetery, of course.
I do love that, Jay. My wife loves that. And to see, and they've all the different eras and stuff, and the horses and the dogs, and it is something lovely.
It's lovely. It's really special. But listen, thank you both for coming in. Rachel Doyle, founder of Arboretum Garden Centre in Carlow, and Paul Harvey from Windy Ridge Nurseries. Lovely to have you with us. Let's take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.